So last time we talked about the Tefillah Moshe Ish Elokim, Tefillah Tzadi. We know that we say that all the time, and how it's really connected to Perek Tzadi Aleph, which is Yosheh B'Seder Yom. And we talked about how that Perek of Tefillah Moshe ends. Let's go look at it here. It ends with the verse V'Yinom Hashem Malkeinu Aleinu, that should God should have pleasure has favor in us. Yet Masayidina Kana Aleinu, and God should establish the work of our hands. And this, as a tefillah of Moshe specifically, was Moshe's tefillah at the building of the Mishkan. It says Moshe and Aaron went out, blessed the people, and they said this prayer. Because what had happened beforehand is that they had built the Mishkan, they had set up all the Karbanot. Aaron goes up onto the Mizbeach, gives him the Birkat Kohanim. And nothing helps. So I'm going to pause here. Yes. Right. You're directly correct from our God. I sent this one. Right, the chat's not going to help. Just with the chat, help. It's not live. Sorry. And that when nothing happened, Moshe goes with Aaron into the Mishkan. They pray that Hashem appear to the Shekhinah appears back to the people, and then the fire comes down. And that's really the essence of the message of that first part of Tefillah Moshe, about how human beings are imperfect, God's perfect, God will forgive us. Aaron has to allow himself to be forgiven. And afterwards, they come out, and as it says, they come out of the Mishkan, and they bless the people. And what they say is, this is the end of that tefillah. Yireh Elav, may your work appear to your servants. They built the Mishkan. They want to have the Shekhinah appear. And so Moshe prays that appears, but Darcha Abraham, and let your glory appear on their children, meaning children of the people who built them. And then he concludes the pasuk we always quote, "V'hinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu." He turns from talking to God, Yireh Elavdecha, the second person talking to God, turns to the people and says, "V'hinom Hashem Elokeinu," that our God's glory, beauty, should appear to us. And work of our hands should be established. May establish the work of our hands. And at that moment, Rashi says, the fire comes out of the Mishkan. Excuse me. Consumes it consumes the offerings on the Mizbeach, and now the Shekhinah has appeared. The Mishkan now works. It's now brought the Shekhinah back to Bnei Israel after the sin of Eglon. So
Danny, this whole Maaseh Aleinu is all about the work of the Kohanim then?
No, the people building the Mishkan.
Oh, the people building the Mishkan, okay.
And Rashi says, it says it twice. Maaseh Kohanim Aleinu, once about what was done, Maaseh Kohanim Nehu, about our future work, so that what we do in the future should also be established God's find favor with it. That's Rashi says, Konehu, Shnei Pandim, Maaseh Yedina Konehu, repeats that idea that God should establish the work of our hands. Echad al Melechat HaMishkan. Again, it's the building of the Mishkan. Everyone in Bnei Israel participated in that. And they all get this bracha. God, find favor. May God find favor with what we did. She Birchan Yisrael. He's giving a bracha to Bnei Israel. It Balean and prays, She Tishra Shechina B'Maaseh Dehem, B'Mishkan. Shechina should appear. They should have that sense that God is with them now. They've worked this hard. They've gotten to this point. Mishkan is there. Bachat, and the second one, Chetei Bracha B'Maaseh Yedeihem, going forward. Bracha should continue in whatever they do. That's the Bracha.
So that's the future.
That's the future. So that's the end of Tilim Tzadi. The next parak really continues that Bracha, that Tzadi Aleph, that starts out with Yoshev B'Seder Elyon, Tzil Shaddai Yitlanan, as Arsfield translates it, whoever sits in the refuge of the Most High, sitting in there with Hashem, then he shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. I think the clauses there really are reversed. I would translate it differently as being because that the one who dwells b'tzel shaddai lanan, that will you will have the you will have the reward of Yoshev b'setra Yom. What dwells in Tzel Shaddai, the shadow of the Almighty, look what that means, shall sit safely in this highest refuge. That if you are Yoshev b'tzelonam b'tzel Shaddai, then you will be saved from all these terrible things that we're going to describe. Like I said, we're talking about disasters, but we're going to be safe from them. Because this idea of being b'tzel Shaddai, the shadow of God, has a very specific meaning related to the building of Mishkan. This is my bracha. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonatan Betzalel, the architect, general contractor, the general builder of the Mishkan, Hashem Chachmato Nikra. He was called Betzalel because of his wisdom. Bishash Amar Lo Akash Baruch Hu Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe, Lecha Marlo Betzalel. You need to tell Betzalel, Aseli Mishkan, Aron Vekelim, go build this tabernacle, this tent, and the Aron, and all the rest of the furniture. And Moshe said the order differently. He actually quotes it to Bnei Israel. He gives in the order of Aseh Aron, make the Aron, make the other furniture, Mishkan, and the Mishkan is at the end of the description. Amarlo, so Betzalel says back to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nagoshela Olam, the way things usually work, Adam Bone Bayit, V'acharkach Machnis L'tocho Kelev. First you got to build the house, and then you can buy furniture to put inside of it. I tell Mer Aseli Aron Kelim Mishkan. You want me to build the Aron first, all the Kelim, and then work on the Mishkan? Kelim Shanei Osef. I make these Kelim, I make all this furniture. Echan Echnisam. Where am I going to put them? Shema Kachamal Achagash Baruch Hu. Maybe Hashem really told you the following. You're getting my orders wrong here. I say Mishkan Aron Kelim. Is that what Hashem told you? Amalos Moshe says back to him, Shema Betzel Kel Hayita Biadata. Were you sitting in the shadow of God when you when God was telling me these things? You were hiding right there. And you knew exactly, even though I told it to you right, I told it to you wrong, you knew what should have happened, the way it should be built. Says Betzalel is Betzel Kel, shadow of God. Sitting, building the Mishkan is like you're shadowing God. Right there. It's this idea that the Mishkan is represents our share of building the world. And that's what it says here, is B'tzel Shaddai, that word named Shaddai, refers to Hashem as creating the universe. And more than that, the creator stopped creating. God gets to some point and says, die. Right? I know Amar Reish Lakish, Mighty of Anik El Shaddai. Well, how does it mean to say El Shaddai? What's that name? What does that name mean? Anihu Shamarti Lolam Dai. I said to the world, enough. Here's a creation, we're going to stop here. Leaving room for human beings to create as well. That's what Shaddai means. God creates and then stops. And building the Mishkan was the human counterpart to creating the universe. We've said that lots of times. You can look at the Aleph Beta, by Foreman's discussions of that. We've pointed that out. Here's the Midrash Tanchuma. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yossi, Lama. Why did we? Why do we say that we love the Makom Mishkan Kodecha, this place where God is? What's the deal with the place? Building the Mishkan is like creating the universe. God creates the universe. We create this Mishkan here as a place for God. And so MS says that similarly. Bira Inyan. That the Medrash says that when the Mishkan was completed, Moshe saw all of the Melacha, all the work that had been done. They did everything that was told. And Moshe gave them Bracha. Bracha here of Inom. And Melechet the Mishkan and Ketuv. It doesn't say Moshe saw the work of the Mishkan being finished. Rak kol amlacha. All work was finished. Umaseh Bereishit. But they had finished the work of creation. It represented that kind of the human side of what our job in the world is. klal devarim, and the principle is shekol melacha mishkan hayot taken kol abriya, that what it represented was to fix the world, fix creation. God did not create the world perfect. There's room for us in here. And that room is to create a place for God to fit into it. This what God's will was, that this world is not going to be finished. Maral says that too, that this world is missing something. It's not done. Like liberal, we'd use the term tikkun olam here. That's kind of taken away from us. But we still believe in tikkun olam. Our job is to fix it. And we finish it by doing mitzvot, by listening to Hashem. That's the idea that the righteous keep the world going. That we keep the world in existence by doing mitzvot. Besides ze atzmo, and because the world's not perfect, sholtin hamazikin ba'olam. We'll have this term again a bunch of times. Mazikin, the idea that there are things that are damaging, things that are bad for us. Bad things happen all the time. That's because the world's not perfect. They're mazikin, they're damaging, usually translated as demons, but we don't have to be necessarily supernatural about it. Bad things happen. Adichisar hashlema, because things aren't perfect. The world's not perfect, so bad things happen. Our job is to fix that. Shaddai, as a divine name, represents the power of creation and the fact that Hashem left creation complete. The idea of being Yoshev, Bitzel Shaddai Etlonan, if you're dwelling in the Bitzel Shaddai, you're shadowing God, you're helping finish the work of creation. And so therefore, you can be Yoshev Bitzel Elyon, you get the protection of Hashem, and you'll be protected from the Shilton HaMazikim Ba'olam. Protected from all the damage and the dangerous things in the world, Hashem promises you that. That's his bracha. Do this. If you act in tikkun olam and finish creation, Hashem will protect you. So the next part of this tefillah, Moshe, isn't so much a prayer, but a promise, a statement of reassurance. Hashem will protect you. And he starts out in the first person. Omar l'Hashem machsiu mitzvati. I say to God, you are my refuge, my fortress, Elokai, my God, Eftach Bo. I have faith in him. And since this is a third person, this is not saying Omar to God. This is saying about God. I say about God that God is my refuge. Moshe is talking to Bnei Israel. I personally believe in God as my refuge. I have faith. And then he goes back and turns to the audience and says, you know, there are a lot of dangerous things happening in the world. And he's going to go through this long list. And I wouldn't take it mazikin as being intelligent demons, which is the way the Gemara Trinity puts it. But there are a lot of invisible dangers out there. And so this whole parak is called, the Gemara, it's called the Shir Shel Negayim, song about plagues, or Shir Shel Negayim, song about damage. And we see that in the Mishnah and Shavuot. Talking about, again, not so much building the Beit HaMikdash, but the halakha of building onto it. I want to add more space into Yerushalayim. I want to add more into the Har HaRavayim, sanctify those places. It takes a ceremony. Amos Sifin Malayir, Balazarot, can't add to Yerushalayim. You can't add to the Temple Mount. Elba Melech has the decision of the king, Uba Navi, you have to have a Navi, add that Uri Batumim. Maybe God needs to say it's okay. Uba Sanhedrin, Shalshim Be'echad, Sanhedrin has to agree. You have to be uva shir. You have to sing about it. So what shir do we sing? Mara says, shir shel todah. We say a song of gratitude. We'll see what that is. The kinarot v'nivalim v'tzalzalim with musical instruments, cymbals, akol pina pina, that we have mute. Orchestras playing in every corner, Bakal Evan Gadola, Jib Yerushalayim, and every platform Yerushalayim would have an orchestra playing when they add on to the Mishkan, or the Mizbeah, to the Mikdash, rather. And you'd say, Mizmor Shir Chanukata Bayit David, right? Dedicating that the Mikdash, use that Perekat Tehillim, say Arimcha Hashem Tani, etc. And we say Shir Shel Pagayim. Yeshamim Shir Shel Nega'im. Now, some people call it Shir Shel Nega'im. It's the song about plagues and damage.
When it says Pega'im, does that mean like the Piguim that are going on in Israel sometimes?
As what does that mean in modern Hebrew? Pega means flaw or damage. What's a pigua in modern Hebrew?
Pigua is like when the guy was walking in with his daughter the night before her wedding, and the terrorist showed up right at the same time and blew himself up, and they were all killed.
Oh, that's a pega. Yes. How would you translate in English? An attack.
I mean, to me, I think of it as a terrorist act, but.
Okay, this is more general.
Something very violent.
Violence, yes, that's what that is. So this is a shir, not of them, but that Hashem promises to protect us. It says, and again, this is all Tehillim Sadi Aleph, Nega lo yikrab malecha, you will not have nega'im, plagues, umanda b'ga'im, k'tiv yipol mitzadcha elef, that thousands will fall on your side, you will be saved. So that's what this paragraph is about. Moshe is promising them, You're a part of us. You finished the Mishkan. God is now going to come down and protect you. And he says explicitly, and it's got all these descriptions of bad things. I don't know how to translate. I don't look and see how the Koran translates it. Kihu yetzilcha mipach yakush, because he will save you from the trap that traps, that snare that traps. Yakush yidever havot, from, again, plague that destroys. These are all kind of synonyms. I want noisome pestilence. What does noisome mean? Doesn't it mean smelly. Bevrato yesechlach. Shem will cover you with his limbs. V'tacha kenachba v'tacha seh. And you're protected by his wings. Metaphoric, that doesn't have wings and limbs. Tina v'ser chayrat mito. Shem's truth is your shield and your buckler, which is a little shield.
What's a buckler?
A little shield.
Oh, okay.
A buckler, a small round shield carried on the arm.
Oh, like an arm, some sort of protection for your arm.
The little ones, yeah, the little round ones. Here you go. Here's some of the buckler.
Okay.
Okay, as opposed to a full size shield. But Hashem is going to be both.
Okay.
It's going to be your shield and your buckler. Hashem will protect you. But Tirami Pachad Laila, you won't be afraid of terror happening at night. Mechitz Yehuf Yamam, you won't be afraid of the arrows that fly during the day. Midever Ofel Yaloch, from the plague that goes in the darkness. Ketev Yeshud Sarayim, Ketev, also another word for destruction. Also another, you know, translated as demons that lays waste, the shud, but Sarayim at noon. Pol mitzvedcha elef. That's the key. That 1,000 will fall at your side. Revam yinecha, 10,000 at your right side. All these dangers out there, they'll just fall away. Ve'elecha yigash, they won't come near you. Rak b'necha terbi. You'll be able to look, you'll be able to see all this happening. V'shinimach rishayim tireh, and you will see the payback of the rishayim. And so, you know, so and there are two sides of this, what this means. One is you had no idea how much danger you were in. I'm telling you, there is a pachad laila, there's a chetzet yomam, there's dever ba'ofel, there's ketev and sarayim. You know, there's a pach yakush, dever havo, all these things are around there. So Hashem's saving you, but you don't even know how much danger you're in. You're just surrounded by all these terrible things. And that's what the Gemara says about that. If we were given permission to see all these mazikin, we couldn't stand it. We'd go crazy. If you worried about everything you could worry about, you'd never be able to think about anything. Rabbi said that in Aramaic. There are more of them than there are of us. And they're piled over us like dirt overhanging a pit, ready to fall on us. Rav Huna, kol chad v'chad minan, every one of us, every human being, Alpha Mismale, Ravata Minine, has 1,000 on the left side and 10,000 on the right. That's the Pomi Sidcha Elef Rabbi Nachman. So Moshe is promising we'll be protected from that, in the way Rabbi Shafran put it. That were the myriad mazikin that constantly surround us visible to us, says Abba Binyamin, would be frozen in terror. Whether he had in mind the fungi, protozoa, bacteria, and viruses that regularly seek to invade our bodies must remain speculated. So certainly from our point of view, there are a lot of germs out there, a lot of things to worry about. You can't see them. But regardless, the countless organs that would, if not for immune system, do us great harm, this statement would be entirely true. There. You could actually think about, if you stop to think about it, you'd be sterilizing every surface. You'd be wearing a mask every moment of the day. You'd never eat anything and drink. So there are these dangers out there to protect us.
Wait, Danny, what did you say? You'd never eat what?
You never eat. You never drink. You never breathe.
Because of all the germs and everything?
Right. And I say that the way that's the way we would. I don't think they have thought about germs, but the idea that they're invisible mazikin out there, the plagues out there. We do rational things, but you know, don't stress about it. Hashem's protecting us. So remember, Nathan Slifkin is bothered by this. I like this quote because I think he's wrong, right? Personally, I think that wishful thinking would be a better description than speculation. In other words, that Mara didn't have in mind bacteria. It's frankly rather odd to posit that Chazal knew about such microscopic phenomena. First of all, see how many basic things about the natural world they did not know. There's the sun's path at night. Why on earth would they have known about microscopic phenomena? Secondly, if they did know about bacterial viruses, why on earth they didn't issue basic medical advice, which would have saved countless lives over history, instead of all kinds of bizarre potions and procedures? I think, though, he's just taking Avi Shafran just too literally, right? I'm not saying that Gemara knew about, you know, gram-negative rods and endotoxins and systemic and inflammatory response syndrome, also modern medicine. But still, the idea that there are lots of things out there that are dangerous that we don't know about, that you wouldn't even see it. That's common. That's universal. And the idea that Hashem protects us from the things we don't even know we should worry about, Rabbi Shafran cites an example in Sefer Bamidbar, which actually I'm going to mention in the Chumash Shir too. So if you want to come to that, though. But it looks, this is in Parshat Chukah, when Bnei Yisrael, this is after 40 years, they've mostly gotten their act together. They're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, but they start complaining about the man. They start complaining that, you know, God's not helping us. Why is he, you know, stuck, you know, sticking us in the desert here? And it says, Vayishalach Hashem ba'amat nechashim asrafim. And God, Vayishalach. It's not Vayishalach, which, as Hirsch says, Shalach means send. God didn't send the snakes. Vayishalach means to let go. You know, send my, let my people go. Amen. So God lets these snakes go, and they bit the people, and they started biting people, and many died. And Rabbeinu Bachya points out that this particular punishment, these snakes that they were punished with, these were perfectly ordinary snakes that were in the wilderness. They were there. Ushikatuv, as Moshe says about that whole trip in the wilderness, that God took you through this awful, huge desert. Nachash, sharaf, yakrav, poisonous snakes, scorpions, droughts in the water. But no one was hurt during those 40 years. Hashem protected them from those things. And Hashem says, fine, you're going to complain about me, I'm just going to withdraw the protection, and now you'll see what really could have happened. That's the same idea here, is that there are things out there that could hurt us. Hashem is protecting us. Appreciate that. So this bracha is a bracha in Israel, right? You already, yeah, you pulled me Sidka Elef, but it's a warning also that don't take your security for granted. Because there are there are 10,000 on your side, just waiting here. And when you say Hashem Machsiu Mitzadati, God, you're my refuge, my fortress, that's a gift that has to be earned. So that's the first half of the parak. The second part basically repeats the first, but he's telling Bnei Yisrael that since you trust in Hashem, you will get to this Elyon. You can be the your shape, etc. You will be protected. And he ties it back to the beginning of the first of the previous parak, right? Tzadi, where he started the tefillah, where he says Hashem ma'on hayitala, you are ma'on, our place of dwelling. Tying back to the idea that the Mishkan acted as that ma'on Hashem. And the next pasuk says, Ki ata Hashem machsi. And Rashi says, this is not talking to God. This is not, oh God, you are my refuge. But rather, there's an implied, he's still talking to Bnei Yisrael, that you, Bnei Yisrael, are the ones who will say, ata Hashem machsi. Right? It says, Ki ata amarta Hashem machsi. You tell God that you that Hashem is my shelter. Or is it Mikram Katsar? It's missing that word Amar, but it's really still talking about Israel. You need to say, you need to have faith in Hashem. And then Elyon Samtum Onecha, you put your dwelling with the Elyon. As Rashi says, Kadosh Baruch Hu Samtum Ma'on Magdiv Tachecha. You have put your dwelling with Hashem protecting it. You have faith in Hashem to protect you, then you will be protected. And therefore, you have nothing to fear. Continues. Go to Ana Alecha Ra'ah, that evil will not bother you. The Negale Krab Alecha, you will not face any of these plagues. There will be no plague in your houses, in your tents. Kimachavitz of Allah, because Hashem will command his angels, his messengers for you. The Shemar or Shemachab called Rechecha, and will guard you everywhere you go. Al Kapayim is Amnucha. These malachim will carry you on their hands, henti go forever, lest you just stumble on a rock. You will be protected. Al-shachal v'tetem tidroch, you will tread on shachal, so snakes and lions, right? There you go, the lion and the adder.
Yeah.
Kind of snake. Henti, tirmos kefir v'tanin, you will stomp on the young lion and the crocodiles. So this is even stronger than the previous one. The previous one is, you'll be protected from the dangers, you'll face them, you have nothing to fear. Here is Hashem is saying, get to this point, you won't even have to face the danger. You'll become the predator. You'll destroy all your enemies.
This is also one of Moshe's Tehillim though, right?
Right. So this is the second part. This is the second part of what I said is the two-part Tefillah of Moshe. So this is Moshe telling Bnei Yisrael, you know, this is his bracha after building the Mishkan. You've built the Mishkan. You've created a place for Hashem in the world. Hashem will now protect you.
And don't we say this during Shabbat or something, or Havdalah?
We say it a lot. We say it all the time. So Shabbat morning in Sugya Zimra, we say it Motzei Shabbat at Havdalah.
That's what I thought.
Right. If you say Kriyat Shema Lamita, it's part of that as well. It's okay. That sense of protection, right? Right. We have this, you know, repeating this bracha that Hashem is going to protect us. There are bad things out there. Hashem protects us. Keep saying that over and over again. Right. And the Midrash says that came from building the Mishkan here. I'm talking about the Mishkan being B'tzel Hashem. God creates the universe for a place for us. We create a Mishkan for a place for Hashem. That's what that represents. And so, and it continues because all of our actions are making a place for God in the world. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our purpose in life. And it says, that there will be no plague in your ohel, referring specifically to the ohel of the Mishkan. Rabbi Yochanan, ad shelo hukam ha-mishkan, till the Mishkan was built. There were mazikin, there was danger all over the world. Rabbi Yochanan, for all human beings. Mishkum ha-mishkan, sheshar ha-shkina lamata, when the Mishkan was built, Shkina comes down, kalu mazikin ma'ala, there are no more mazikin. I don't know, it's not God, but still, you don't have to worry so much. That's what the pasuk says, that the plague will not enter your tent, which is the Zeh Ol Moed. That's the Ol Moed. That's the tent that the plague will not enter. So again, if you're dwelling B'tzel Shaddai, you're shadowing God. Right? You're acting imitatio Dei, you're creating a place for God in the world, doing the mitzvot, having those appropriate dote, you're part of the Hashem, and then you have nothing to worry about from the Zikit. And then the last three psukim of this parak are quoting God. Moshe is Ish Elokim. He's a Navi. He can do that. These are God's words telling Bnei Yisrael, Ki vi chashak b'hoteim. You desired me, or third person. He desired me, such a person, and b'hoteim, I will save him. Askeveyu, I will raise him up, kidashimi, because he knows my name. Let's see what that means. Yikra'eni, he will call out to me, b'hoteim, and I will answer. Yimo enochi v'tzara, and I will be with him through all of his troubles. Achasein, I'll save him. Bachabdehu, and more than to save him, I will honor him. I'll bring him up. It's more than just being protected from danger. You'll actually be overcome it. And then orechi masbehu, with often translated with length of days, I will satisfy him. I don't think that's really what that means. It just means the length of days will be satisfying. We'll be satisfied with the length of days. And I will show him my salvation. Because the beginning of the Tefillah Moshe starts with the Yemesha Tina Bahim Shivim Shana.
Okay, yeah.
Our lives are finite. Live 70 years, 80 years, whatever it is. It's very short, right? Rabaham, Amal Ba'aved, and all their pursuits are just pointless toil and work. Full of sound and fury signifying nothing, to quote Shakespeare. But the answer to that, if we get to this point, is Orech Mesbehu, that we'd be satisfied with the length of days. However long we have, it'll be meaningful. Yes, Hashem's infinite. It says, Elf Shanim Beinecha Kiyomet Mol, 1,000 years is like a day that passes. We can't even think about it. But if they are filled with the productive work, Avodat Hashem of building the Mishkan and all that, yeah, that symbolizes then Orech Mesbehu, that we'd be satisfied with the length of our days. We'll fill our days. That's what's the expression? It's not a matter of years in your life, a matter of life in your years.
Yeah, I was gonna tell you, my dad uses that all the time. It's not the days in your life, it's the life in your days.
There you go. That's what Orech Mesbehu, be satisfied with your length of days, whatever it is. And that's inspiring. And then I end with this idea that when we say it in davening, in Sukkot, Zimran, Shabbat, the Motzei Shabbat, and all that, when we invoke this as this sort of protection, as this tefillah here, we repeat the last pasuk, right? Yikra'eni ve'enei v'mo enochi v'tzara chasei v'chabdehu orich masbe'er v'rei v'shvati orich masbe'er v'rei v'shvati. Looking at it, we always do. And the question is why? So the Avud Raham, early Rishon commentator on the Siddur, says that the number of words in this whole parak symbolizes our 242 Resh Memchet Ramach body parts. You know that number? They all need protection. This is the Avud Raham. Atam shekofli b'tchila v'hinam uvasof orach mesbehu. So he had the minhag to double both the first pasuk and the last pasuk. We only double the last pasuk, but the same idea. So we double the. We say Binom twice, we say Orchamim twice. Yeshamim, those who say, Bipnei ki Yoshev b'setra yon, im pasuk Binom, that this whole parak starting from the Binom, Yeshbo kuf chafdal, 124 words. I didn't count it. I believe it. B'shetik haflatam, you resh memchet, and if you double that, that's 248, symboling the number of body parts in the halach.
How did you get the number of body parts, phrase, though?
Well, that's the Gemara says that there are 248 limbs. I've never added up, but it's not clear. I thought of looking at the kind of the count of them. What counts as a body part? Counts as an organ?
Exactly. I'm like, what?
So I think the Mishnah goes into it because it's talking there. Because halachically, it matters because what counts in terms of tuma.
Oh.
You know, if you have a body part somewhere, as it's tummy, what counts as a whole body part? But we have that, so like when we say Shema, we make sure there are 248 words in Shema.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Are there 248 words in Shema?
No, there are 245.
I love it.
So that's why if you're saying it by yourself, you say Kel Melch Ne'amat.
Oh, okay.
They add an extra three-letter form of beginning, or if you're davening with a minion, then the Chazan repeats Hashem El Kiyach HaMemet.
So that's the three words.
So Shema Yuman 248. Word symbolizes body parts. So two. If we repeated Yoshev, etc., then we have 248 words. So you should have said the whole thing twice. Got you 248 words. Got to protect all. God will protect all 248 body parts of Bnei Torah Hatzibur. But that's too much. That's too much work on for the congregation. No one's going to say this parent twice. So that's why we just repeat the, well, he says, repeat the first and last pasuk. We just repeat the last pasuk. But you have in mind that you're really, as though you repeated the whole thing. And that's why we, and that's why we say it, Motzei Shabbat, Havdalah, Shutichilat HaShavuah, because that's when we need the protection. We're about to go out into the real world. We're leaving Shabbos so that we need protection for our Ramach Evarim, for our 248 body parts. Protects our body. That's what Yoshev said. You know, I'm protecting us from all those bodies. He can't help them. The tour, it's interesting, gives us a Kabbalistic reason. It says here, as Nogin Lomar Avino, we say this Pek Avino, with Yoshev B'Setrayon, Yoshev will protect us. Bishu Mizmar Shal Bracha, Shabro Berach Moshe Yisrael B'Shash, Shasimu Melech Tavashkan. That's the bracha that Hashem gave in Israel when they finished the Mishkan. The knowing of the full Pasuk Orchim Asbehu, and we double this last Pasuk, Shaydeken, Yishlam Hashem Hayasemi Mena. By doubling it together, we complete the name of Hashem that comes out of this Pasuk. I have no idea what he's talking about. All these names of God, there's something there, in the Nesek, in the Starot, we don't deal with these kind of Kabbalistic ideas, but that section starts with the idea, Askaveo Kidashim Me. I'm going to bring him up. The one who has faith in me, we brought up because he knows my name. There's something about the Shem Hashem here. And Yodei Shem goes with the idea of having faith in Hashem. This is Tehillim Tet, which says, to be Yodei Shem Hashem, to know what Hashem's name is, manifestation in the world. That means to have faith that Hashem will, to rely on Hashem. You will not abandon those who seek. That's what it means to be a Yodei Hashem Hashem.
So you basically follow his Torah, you mean?
Right. He's saying that it's more than that. It's not so much the Father of Mitzvot, but it's Father of Mitzvot and having faith in Hashem, that Hashem will protect us. You have to seek out Hashem. And that's what the tefillah is about. We build the Mishkan, we do the Mitzvot, and through that, we kind of bring Hashem into the world, and we get close to Hashem, and Hashem will protect us. That's what Yoshev B'Setrayon is all about. And I would end here. And next week, I think I could go on to some more of the Tehillim that were written by Moshe. Assuming I can get stuff done in time, if I can. Stop here.
I think I'll.